City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Smash that like button. Helps us with the algorithm. And today we're talking some high school athletics, as we'll be joined by Central Head Football Coach Justin Breeze. He'll be joining us here in the next 15 minutes on the program. We're going to talk about some of the Legion baseball from yesterday, some amateur baseball action, Minnesota Twins. They continue to play. That's the best way to describe it, I guess you could say. Yeah, they're still playing. And all of that and much more coming up today on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. David Tewksbury joined alongside by the Cobra on a hump day. How are you, sir?
Good. That was a good one.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I mean, it's just like, yeah, they're there. They're still kind of doing their thing. And I don't know, man. I've always been of the opinion and a proponent that 162 is so long of a season. I know baseball purists would say you need 162 games to determine who's hot, who's not, who are the teams that are, you know, potentially going to take the next step and all those sorts of things. But, man, I think you could easily shave off 20 games of the season, maybe even a full month, because when football season comes along, baseball just takes such a back seat. And I'm pro baseball. I like baseball. It's a great sport. Heck, I'll even say I love baseball because I do, but man, once sports season in terms of football rolls around, just feels like that is just taking second fiddle to that.
No doubt about it. I mean, football is number one. I think you could probably shave off a couple games. I wouldn't say a full month, but I think you don't need all of September for regular season. I'm with you on that 100%. Play till Labor Day.
Yeah, you could do that. Or easily move it to mid-April to start. I mean, how many
people? Oh, yeah, they could. You know what, they could do that. They could start the season a little bit later, no doubt about it.
Very end of April or very start of May. I mean, who wants to be at Wrigley Field or Target Field when it's 37 degrees outside and you've got light rain, 35-mile-an-hour winds? That's not enjoyable for anybody.
I don't even think that's baseball weather.
No, it's terrible, and I can tell you because I've done it before.
I have, too.
We got incredible seats one year at Wrigley Field. It was, like, right behind home plate, couple rows up, and I was like, this is incredible. Why are they giving away these? It's 42 degrees outside. It's raining. It's mid-April. That's why they're giving away these seats.
I went to a Twins Nationals game. I was in full winter gear.
Yeah, I believe it.
In April. I was right down the first base. I was down the right field line. I was freezing cold. I think I left at the seventh inning. I was that cold. And that's like, I think, that's like the beginning of April. So yeah, I'm with you. I think you could probably, especially some of these teams that are just like where the Twins are going absolutely nowhere, it seems like this year. It's definitely just a drag of a season. My Orioles, they've won 5 in a row, and they're 50-58. I mean, you're just out of the mix still. Even though they're playing the first-place Blue Jays, they've won 5 in a row. They won 2 against Colorado, and you're still so far back. So I mean, you still need to go on like a 10-game heater to get over 500 and then maybe have a chance. Like, that's what The Twins need a 13-game win streak like they had at the beginning of the year just to get back on track and maybe have a chance to make the playoffs.
It's crazy. He is the Cobra. Let's toss this thing skyward on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And on Monday's show when you were gone, I was saying that the Twins, obviously, they're not a serious team. And the reason I say that is because you start up the second half of the season losing 2 out of 3 against Colorado. You lose 2 out of 3 against Washington. And serious playoff teams, they don't lose series like that. And oh, by the way, speaking of your O's, they defeated Colorado 18-0 over the weekend.
They also did lose to them.
Did they? But again, they're not a serious team. They're not a serious playoff team. Well, there you go. But they beat them 18-0 one day. So it's just like you look at those teams, and I get it. It's baseball. It's 162 games. You never know what can happen. And sometimes you get an ace going up against a slappy who's not very good. It's just like these are not serious teams. And both of those teams, Twins, Orioles, and for that matter, the Nationals and the Rockies, they're not serious teams.
No doubt about it. The only guy who's really playing well right now for the Twins is Brooks Lee. He's got 7 yep. RBIs in 2 games. He had a 2-homer day there yesterday. And did you see the video of Yoan Duran hugging the bullpen yes. catcher? And the broadcast was like, I don't know if it was the broadcast, but there was a tweet. Sometimes all you got to do is hug the bullpen catcher. He didn't get traded. So, yeah, I don't know. The Twins, they're just going nowhere, and it's a shame because the only really bright spot of this year is that 13-game win streak.
Yeah.
That's it.
Everything went south when Pablo went down.
Yep.
I mean, they weren't great when he was healthy, but they were serviceable. I mean, they're still kind of serviceable. They're still only, 5 games back of the wild card?
Yeah.
So it's not like they're 25 back. It's not like it's over. And heck, who knows? Maybe they get really, really hot and they make a run. And then we'll be frying up crow, and that's totally fine. But
then we'll hop right on the bandwagon.
Yeah, exactly. What a season! Yeah.
That's how I'll be.
Yeah.
If they go on a 10-game win streak or something crazy and they make the playoffs, I'll be on the bandwagon.
For sure. And why not? But it's not going to be any easier for them to do that because Byron Buxton, congratulations, he has officially been placed on the 10-day injured list for left rib cage inflammation. So he's going to be out for a little bit of time. And I was going to say, it's kind of been a little while since he's been on the injured list. He's about due, right?
So, yeah.
End of July. Yep, he's about due.
Post-All-Star break, celebrated the All-Star game, made the game. A couple weeks past that, it's time for sure. Now, I'm surprised they're just not letting him DH. Left rib and inflammation? I mean, really? 10 days? Maybe a couple days and then get back in the lineup, we could use the DH. You know, I don't know. If you're serious about making a run, and I've been saying this about my Orioles, they had some guy miss games named Tyler O'Neill for general soreness.
General soreness.
And I said to myself, I saw it on X, I said, if you're really trying to make a move and make playoffs and make the wild card, you can't be missing games for general soreness. Now, I'm not going to question the legitimacy of Byron Buxton's injury, but left rib inflammation to me isn't a 10-day IL thing. That's a couple days and get back in the lineup. DH.
General soreness. That's me every day. That's every American every day waking up with general soreness.
Since then, he's come back. He's been off the charts, hitting home runs. He's been great the last, I'd say, 5 games, so maybe the day off helped him. I don't know.
He was just generally sore.
Crazy.
It happens.
Never seen anything like that.
No question. Well, it is kind of a slow sports time of the year for sure, and you know it's a slow sports time of the year for sure when you start to see the Madden NFL rookie ratings come out. Travis Hunter, officially ranked in 84. Ashton Gentry, running back there for – there he is. He's an 81. Cam Ward, first official pick there in the NFL draft this last year, just a 71. So
71?
Man, that's it. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but you know it's a slow news day when the ratings are coming out and all the players are getting all into a tizzy about that.
I saw the couple 99 guys. Patrick Mahomes wasn't a 99 overall. Can you believe that? He was a 98. And people were arguing about that. I mean, what's the difference between 99 and 98? Come on.
Dude's got enough rings. I don't think it really matters. I think he's going to be just fine. He's got a beautiful wife, a beautiful family. He's got a winning culture. He's doing just fine in life.
Cam Ward's going to be thrown into the fire with Mayo Levis out.
Yeah.
So he's out for the whole season. and he's going to be thrown right into the lineup, and we'll see how good he is, right? I mean, first overall pick, I don't really care about, was he the consensus number one overall pick or not? You were the number one overall pick, so you're there to perform. I think there's a lot of pressure on him coming into this year.
For better or worse, that's the way it is. When you're the number one overall selection, whether you're going into a great situation or a crummy situation, well, there's typically, more often than not, if you're the number one overall pick, it's typically a pretty bad situation. There's a reason why you're picking numero uno, unless you got a trade for that number one spot. So, yeah, I'm with you. There's going to be some pressure on a guy like that, no question.
I'm not saying they got to go and run, make the playoffs, go 9-8 or 7-8 or 9 or something like that, but he's got to show that he can play. Like, I feel like you got to see what he can do. Is the O-line going to be able to protect him? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But there is definitely some pressure on him, in my opinion. You're the first overall pick. I don't care if people thought that Travis Hunter was going to be the number one pick or not. You are number one. Go out and prove it and see what you can do.
No question. Let's travel out west. Our guy, Gray Zabel, new starting left guard for the Seattle Seahawks. He was lacing him up there yesterday, and he's officially brought South Dakota all the way out to the Emerald City. He was seen following the practice yesterday with the starting left tackle, Charles Cross, shotgunning some Gatorades there. And in the post-game presser, or post-practice presser, I guess you could say, with Gray, he said, I just had to show him a few of the Midwest traditions. And I thought to myself, he's officially brought South Dakota to Seattle. Good stuff there from Gray Zabel.
That's good stuff. I didn't know they had the canned Gatorade now.
I didn't either.
Wonder if they found that. I was surprised to see that. But that's pretty good stuff there. It looks like 67 there struggling a little bit.
Yeah, Charles Cross having a tough time. Gray's like, this is not my first rodeo, pal. I've done this a time or two. Good stuff to see. He just looks like a pro, doesn't he?
Yeah. Zabel?
Yeah.
He's got the size. Look at him.
Fits right in.
Yeah, he looks like he's in great shape. I mean, look at him.
That's what stopping drinking Busch Light will do for you.
Yeah.
He says it's tough to find out there. So he's laid off the Busch Light, and good for him. Speaking of NDSU guys, shout out to Trey Lance. He's getting the start tomorrow for the Hall of Fame game. Now, I get it. It's the Hall of Fame game. Like, 8 or 9 people care, but it's a local note there.
Yeah.
NDSU guy.
You got to root for him, right? I mean, you got to think that he's going to get a lot of time. I saw a report that he might be playing the whole first half and to start the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to get a lot of time there. I've said this before. I know he's not great, but I just feel like he never got a fair shot ever in the league. He got hurt the first time he went out and started, and then since then he just hasn't gotten a fair look, and he hasn't looked great when he has gotten opportunities to get in. But that's the way I feel about Trey Lance. People want to say bust. Yes, he's in that category. But I just feel like the injuries and his and kind of being in different situations, maybe teams giving up on him, hasn't helped at all either.
His first year, he got hurt. And then the second year, his first game was against the Bears. Remember that complete monsoon game?
Yeah, I do remember that game.
And nobody got anything accomplished offensively for either team. And then his second game, week 2, was against the Seahawks. And he dislocated his ankle, and his season was over. So he has had really, really tough luck.
Yeah, and they moved on from him in San Francisco.
Yep.
And he's been bounced around everywhere else, and he hasn't been thrown into a starting situation. He did play a game for the Cowboys last year, but the Cowboys were in a really tough spell and they stunk last year. So I just feel like situation matters where you go. You see it all the time. Sam Darnold's a prime example of that.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he do when he went to the Vikings? They won 14 games and he's with Seattle, and we'll have to wait and see. But we've got another guy, Baker Mayfield, who we talked about yesterday. He started his career in Cleveland. Then he went to Carolina, stunk. Then he was bounced around a little bit, went to the Rams, had that big game, and then here he is. I was watching something yesterday. Is he a top 5 quarterback in the league? An argument.
I mean, he's definitely
top 10.
He's definitely top 5 in the NFC.
Yes.
I'd argue he's probably top 3 in the NFC right now.
Sure.
You could probably make that argument, make a legit case. He threw 41 touchdowns last year. He led the NFC in touchdown passes.
It was like him or like Jordan Love. I think I'm taking Baker in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close. I feel like I'd probably take Baker too.
And I'm taking Baker over like Jaden Daniels right now. I need to see a little bit more. Maybe. I know I'm being a hater right now because he went to the NFC Championship game. But everybody that's crowning this Washington Commanders team, of being a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I'm not here for that right now. I need to see it again.
Are they a once-off, or are they legitimate contenders year after year? We'll have to wait and see. Maybe a sophomore slump for Daniels, or maybe he comes back even better in his sophomore year. We'll have to wait and see. Coming up next, we're talking some Central football. Head coach Justin Breeze, he'll join us next. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and joined alongside by the head coach of the Central Football Squad, Justin Breeze. Coach, good to see you. How's your summer?
It's going great. It's pretty much over. Thanks for having me on, guys, here.
Absolutely. It's like the annual visit here as we get closer and closer to August and what have you. And we're kind of talking off the air, and you're like, a lot of Twins talk there. Yeah, I know. It's been a tough year, but like you said, your Cubs, they're on a tough stretch right now.
Yeah.
I'm a Cubs fan, too, so I feel your pain right there, but it sounds like you've had a nice, fun summer so far.
Yeah, it's nice to kind of step away from school and, you know, kind of regroup and catch your breath. But at the same time, I know when it comes to football, it gives us a chance to get a little extra work in as well. So it's nice to slow things down for our guys and work on some new stuff and, you know, fine-tune some stuff we did last year and you know, find ways to get better through the off season.
So you've been kind of ramping it up this summer as the season kind of approaches. Does it get – when you get, like, closer to – fall camp, do things kind of start to ramp up a little bit more?
A little bit more, yeah. You know, we've been going like one night a week. We'll get together as a whole team and then have a full-on practice. And then, you know, another night a week, quarterbacks and receivers coordinate a night where they get together and do their own thing and work on some routes and timing stuff. So it's nice that they can do that on their own. But as we came through the summer, you know, after 4th of July, you know, went to a 7-on-7 tournament down in Lenox, which went all right, you know, learned some stuff and, you know, get some experiences and then kind of build up the next couple weeks here. You know, this week we go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just kind of jumping into, you know, our dead period next week that we can't have any contact with, and then we start practice the 11th. So, you know, kind of finish it off with three straight nights of, okay, we need to finish up, finish strong, and then we're going to just jump into fall camp here in August.
We had Billy Young in studio here about a week or so ago, give or take. And he was talking about a lot of these summer camps, the 7-on-7 stuff. Mm. What do you learn about your team? Is it full-on contact? I know the one that he was saying that they're going to, I think, is it either this week or next week. I think it must be either this week or maybe even the previous. He was saying it is full contact for those guys. Is it similar on the AA side of things or no?
The ones that we go to or we've been to aren't full contact. You can go to some team camps that it's full pads, full contact, everything. You know, the camps that we've gone to in the past are just, you know, helmets, and it's more two-hand touch, more just that was 7-on-7. But, you know, we could go to, you know, SDSU has a big team camp we can go to, and, you know, NDSU, UND, all those schools have big, you know, camps that are all full contact, full pads, full go. So, yeah, it kind of depends on what you want to accomplish. You know, it's nice to go somewhere else and see some different competition and get some stuff that you want to work on. And, you know, summertime, I think, is a great time for us to just focus on ourselves and, you know, look back at our season and say, okay, here's some things we did well, here's some things that we didn't do so well, so we need to work on that and fine-tune and refocus on what, you know, look at our kids. Hey, this coming season, what can we do and what can we use these kids for this year and to kind of modify some stuff, whether it's offense, defense, special teams.
Mm-hmm. Just looking at my charts here from last year, it looks like going to be a pretty younger squad coming into 2025 here.
We have a lot more seniors this year, so we're gonna have a lot of seniors playing. It's just they probably don't have as much experience.
Okay.
For the most part, you know, there's some of our kids that have been, you know, 3-year starters. You talk about, you know, Birch and Dahlman and Felipe, you know, all been 3-year starters for us, and we had a bunch of guys get some good playing time last year, but not as much. So they're kind of young, but not totally young.
I could just feel Matt getting excited talking about Big Felipe. He's one of our favorite players. And, you know, last year when Matt was calling the games, I would just hear him just get so jacked up about some of the plays that he made last year. Obviously, he brings a lot to the program from the in-between-the-line stuff, but off the field, what does he kind of bring? And I guess just the kind of leader that he is, if he is.
He's a quiet leader. He's going to do his thing and lead by example. You know, I think there's been a few times where I encourage him to be a more vocal and talk to kids, and he's gotten out there and he's grown as a leader as far as being more vocal with kids. But, you know, talk about a really good kid, really good student, never issues in school, like he's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. just doing what you ask of him and doing what he could do to get better, because I know he's looking at playing well this season for us this year, and then he's also got sights on what am I going to do next year, which is it's an exciting thing, and he's done a pretty good job, I'd say, of focusing on this year, but also keeping the back of his mind, like, okay, well, how am I going to progress here after this year and that kind of stuff. So he's done a really good job of off the field being a great kid and being a good example for our underclassmen, our middle school kids. So, yeah, can't say enough about him. He's doing a great job for us.
Did you have a conversation with him at the end of the year when the season was over, like, hey, we might need you to play both sides of the ball? Because I know he played a little bit of guard towards the end of the year last year, and somebody that is as dominant as him, you know, you want him on the field as much as possible.
Yeah, you know, and talking to him in the offseason and several of our guys that were thinking that are probably going to play a little more both ways this year, he was totally open to that idea, you know, thinking whatever I can do to help the team out. Yeah, he might get a little more tired throughout the game, but at the same time, you know, a big, strong, physical kid like him, I think he'll be just fine. But he was totally open, and same with the other guys that I've talked to about, you know, playing more both ways and not just starting one ways.
Justin Breeze joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, head coach of the Central Football Squad. Did any of these guys ever lobby to you like, hey, can I get the ball when we're inside the 2-yard line? Like, I'll be the fullback, I'll lead block, or maybe even I'll be the I'll dot the I or something like that in the I formation.
There, you know, you always have your linemen that are always, you know, petitioning for themselves and, you know, trying to get themselves up there and saying, hey, I can do that, coach. And not usually, you know, I mean, when you get a kid, you know, our kid like Joey Dahlman at fullback, sometimes we'll put him at our running back, and he's a big bulldozer, and I think he does a pretty good job of doing that. So the linemen, we tell him, well, we'll think about it. We'll talk it over as a staff and then kind of just table it for then.
I'm guessing that you're a father. I can tell that. You know, we'll think about it. You know, we'll talk about that later. You know, I haven't broke that out on my daughter yet, but maybe, you know, that's like, well, we'll talk about it later.
And yep.
Usually the answer is, we'll just table that for another time.
That comes out about once a day. I've got a 13-year-old daughter, and so, you know, I'll talk to your mom about that. We'll see what happens. And
yeah, we'll see.
You'll see, yeah.
For sure.
Defensively, Coach, you know, you mentioned the guys that are coming back, Birch, Felipe, Henley, so the front three are back. A lot of the corners and secondaries back. It looks like the only guy in the starting lineup was Cordell Ricklick, but the linebackers, it looks like all those guys graduated from last year. Huff, Shadow, Weishar, Schwann, those guys all graduated. So can you kind of talk about that competition at linebacker that's going to be coming up here in the fall?
Yeah, there's going to be, you know, there's probably 8 different guys that we're looking at that either are going to start and then rotate through and finding those right guys. And there's been a couple guys where we've talked about, hey, you know, we know you've been a safety the last couple of years. Maybe we're going to move you down to an outside linebacker, or maybe you were an outside backer last year and now we're looking at an inside backer this year. So just trying to find that right fit and that right mix of guys. You know, we had, like you said, a pretty good core of linebackers last year that fly around and tackle people. And, you know, I think we're in the process of finding those guys again this year. So it's always a continual process of, okay, this is a good max or a good mix here and these guys here, and just trying to see what pieces of the puzzle fit in correctly.
I'm going to get football nerdy here. I know this will probably make you happy. Can you kind of unpack the differences between playing inside linebacker and outside linebacker? Just sounds like, you're a linebacker, get out there and go. No, there's a lot of intricacies that go along with playing inside and outside. Can you kind of unpack that difference?
We could get pretty deep. You know, you can think about a middle backer being more, we have 2 inside backers, and they're a little more bigger, physical type guys. Our outside backers are usually more, I don't want to say smaller, but maybe a little faster guys that can cover receivers, cover some guys a little bit easier. You know, asking them to do different things. You know, sometimes we're asking those small guys, you know, like last year we asked Tate Huff, not exactly the biggest kid in the field, but, you know, asking a kid like him to, you know, come up and fill in the run, which he was not afraid to do. But at the same time, also be able to drop back in coverage and get to a slot receiver and, you know, stay with him out in the flats or going vertical with him. So it's a little bit more finesse on the outside, a little more big and physical on the inside, but at the same time, you kind of have a mix of both with it as well. So trying to find those right kids to fit in there, it's always fun to do, to see them kind of grow and develop. And like, okay, well, this kid, you know, is progressing in this aspect. Maybe we can get him to be a little more physical and they can put him inside. Or, you know, this kid is, you know, showing that he's a little bit faster and he can get out and fly around a little bit more. Maybe we put him on the outside. So it's a fun, you know, kind of experiment about moving some kids around and seeing where they fit you know, and try not to overload them with too much information, but at the same time just seeing what physically they can do and find the right spot for them. It's always fun. And it's not just linebacker, but, you know, any position. You know, you get some kids maybe that are grow up thinking they're a tight end, and, you know, you'd make a really good tackle, which I know is hard to swallow for them sometimes. But or maybe it's a kid that, you know, is a receiver, and we're like, you know, you're getting pretty big and thick. Maybe you're more of a tight end, and you can block pretty well, those kind of things. So it's always fun and also kind of, you know, nerve-wracking to figure, okay, where are we going to put all these kids to fit them in right and get them in the right spots? And we don't want to, you know, hamstring ourselves and say, you know, you're only this position. That's what you are for the next 4 years, you know, and, you know, moving kids around to find the best spot to get the best 11 kids in the field at the same time and, you know, play ball.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at the schedule there, Coach. Three of the first four on the road this year. And, of course, you guys are starting with Pier and T again here in 2025. I mean, it's just every year you guys start with a couple tough teams to start the year. This time you're going to be more so on the road. Just kind of your thoughts on that beginning part of the schedule.
You know, I think it's going to be – you never know coming into that first game, you know, who do they graduate and which of their underclassmen and which of our underclassmen are going to step up and fill in positions. So it's that first game is just always so many question marks about, okay, what's it going to look like? Are they going to change some stuff offensively or defensively? You know, what are they doing? Are we changing stuff that they're going to have to adjust to, you know, mid-game? But, you know – It's going to be a good benchmark. You know, last year everyone's saying Pierce going to be down. Well, then they put on a good run there and make it to the dome and everything. And, you know, you always try and measure that by looking at, okay, how many seniors did they have that graduated, whether it's Pierre, T, or whoever, you know, who's moving on from there. And, you know, just go out there that first game and, again, just try and focus on ourselves and get ourselves, okay, here's where we are and here's a benchmark of, like, okay, here's what we can do and here's what, you know, we need to work on and here's some things that we need to maybe scrap for the rest of the season until we can work on and get it better in the off season. But tough start to the season, and that's just the way the schedule falls, and, you know, it's what it is, and you have to play those teams anyways at some point. And you know, if we get in and, you know, figure out, hey, this is what we need to do, and, you know, to get a win out of it. And, you know, if we don't win, then okay, step back, evaluate, and, you know, assess what we're doing and how we're doing it, and if we need to change it, or if we just need to stay the course and trust how we've been doing the process throughout the summer as well.
Take a quick timeout. More with head coach Justin Breeze, head coach of the Central Football Team, after this on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on FSA. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and joined by the Central head football coach, Justin Breeze. And I'm curious, year to year, you see it all the time on the college side of things. New offensive coordinator this year. Oh, we got a new linebackers coach. Staff for you guys, kind of similar to last year? A couple changes there, or all the same?
All are the same except for two. We added in a new defensive coach, former NSU player and coach, Matt Rakowski.
Okay.
He's going to come in and help us coach as well. And then we got a new freshman coach, Mike Swenson, sign up. But, you know, pretty much the same staff that we've had, you know, last couple of years, which is always a good thing. You know, I think as you go, just like the players, you try and get them to work together and play together. Coaches are kind of the same thing too. It's a process to get those coaches on the same page and work together, even though they might focus on one side of the ball or the other, but as a whole, working together to, you know, keep the mission or the, you know, accomplish the mission that we have in mind as a whole entire staff, even though you might just coach one side of the ball or other. But, you know, for the most part, same core group of coaches the last couple of years. So that's always nice to have.
Fourth year for you as well, which means, and we were talking a little bit about it off the air, but same group of kids that have been with you at the helm. You know, this group of seniors was your first year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, you've kind of seen these kids grow up.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch them grow. You know, we were talking about Felipe earlier and watching kids like Birch and Dahlman and, you know, some of those guys that have, you know, kind of snuck under the radar for a couple of years, and now as juniors, seniors, starting to progress and advance and get bigger and stronger and understand the game a little bit more. It's fun to watch those kids grow, and you don't just see it as a snapshot of just 1 year, but you think of, okay, where this kid started out as a freshman. Maybe some of those kids are, you know, as a freshman, you're thinking, oh, man, I don't know if this kid's ever going to play for us, but I'm glad he's out because he's a good kid. And by the time they're a senior, it's like, you know what, you turned into a pretty good player. I mean, you know, we talked about, like, Schwann from last year, who, you know, wasn't a terrible player, but just kind of was there and, you know, not quite sure how much he was going to give us last year, and then came out and had a really good season for us at linebacker, you know. So it's always fun to see those kids stick with it and progress and get better through their 4 years, and not just look for, like, well, I didn't play a whole lot this year, so I don't want to play anymore, I'm not going to do it. And, you know, those kids that just stick it out and progress and get better and better, and, you know, it's like, hey, proud of you for doing what you did. And you guys worked hard in the off season. You gave us a lot of time and commitment in the in season. You know, you guys, it paid off. You know, maybe we didn't get a lot of wins out of it, but you know, you worked yourself into a pretty good player.
I've seen you out and about a time or two at a Northern State football practice and what have you. And just like Mike Schmidt, I think you probably earned a gray hair or two this last year. Every Northern game felt like was down to the wire. Mm. A lot of the Central games last year were down to the wire. How's your heart for you last year? Because every single game was down to that final couple minutes. Long drives for the win. I mean, a trip out west was incredible, and just a lot of great ups and downs last year.
Yeah, you know, when you look at our schedule last year and the wins and losses, you know, we were 3-6, and you know, didn't come out in the winning end as much as we probably wanted to. But you know, a bunch of those games we lost were one score games that we lost by, and it's just a matter of, you know, not being able to finish a drive offensively or giving up one big play defensively. And it's you know, sometimes it comes down to that, you know, those little tiny things of just one play here and there. And or, you know, it's a culmination of, hey, we didn't pick up that first down, or hey, we gave up that third and long, whatever it was, you know. So it's always a culmination of all those things. Or you can always sometimes, or I shouldn't say always, but sometimes you just point to one play. It's like, oh shoot, we had it right there, and we just let it go. But yeah, I definitely gained a few gray hairs last year, you know, thinking about what are we doing? Are we doing the right stuff and trying to stick with our plan? And, you know, sometimes you have to modify those things. And, you know, last year, just with injuries and stuff like that, you just have to roll with it and try and figure out the best thing you can do with it. And, yeah, we don't have a stable of quarterbacks or linemen that are just waiting to step in that, you know, are as good or, you know, as close to as good as the starters. So, you know, trying to figure out, hey, again, reevaluate and look at, okay, well, here's kids that, you know, here's the things that this kid can do. Let's try and, you know, change a few things without changing the entire offense or entire defense of what we can do with this kid and how we can use him to win games.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I felt like you were kind of modifying a lot last year just because of what you were talking a lot about. You know, you started the year, you know, with the new offense and the kind of more spread out look. And then next thing you know, it seemed like you had a revolving door at quarterback there towards the end of the year, just with, you know, some of the things that happened with injuries and whatnot. So, I mean, I remember the last couple games you had Colby Dowling at quarterback, who was playing receiver. So, I mean, it was kind of like, you know, what can Colby do? What are some of his strengths? And, you know, when Bowman was out there, what are some of the things that he could do? And when Waldrop. So, yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you had to put your thinking cap on, I feel like, a good bit there.
Yeah,
the
offensive staff had the work cut out for them, trying to figure out how can we get some positive things going here and get things going in the right direction. And yeah, sometimes it worked well, and sometimes it was like, okay, well, that didn't quite work out the way we planned it. And you know, it looked good in practice maybe, and you know, now we get out to the game and maybe they give us a different look defensively. So yeah, and that's just part of the process. You know, you can't take away injuries from the game. Doesn't matter what sport you're talking about. And, you know, if something happens, you just need to figure out a way to make it work. And, you know, sometimes we're good at our job and sometimes we're not so good at our jobs.
Yeah, we could say the same thing as broadcasters. Sometimes we make really stupid predictions. It's like every day. Head coach Justin Breeze here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We made some bad ones last year. Let's see. Twins beat the Yankees. No, that's not going to happen. All right. I got to ask about the Sturgis game, though, in particular. Kind of, for lack of a better term, ruining their homecoming and putting the kibosh on them. That was a game that was down to the wire. Matt and I were texting back and forth throughout the game, like, oh my gosh, this is back and forth crazy. I think it was 4 seconds left to go. You get the final touchdown pass, or 1 sec, whatever it was. Just kind of take us back with that one and the fun road trip back from all the way out west when you win a game like that at the wire.
Yeah, at first it's a long trip out there, and then you get there and it's, you know, it's a great atmosphere right there by the cliffs, and you know, it's really cool. But yeah, that whole series of, you know, we probably should have had the game put away before that, but just couldn't finish some drives offensively. But it was awesome to see our kids, you know, kind of toughen up and stiffen up a little bit that last drive, and you know, kind of put the ball in Colby Dowling's hands a couple times, and you know, let Bowman, you know, get the ball down the field a little bit as well, and then Colby scoring that last touchdown, and you know, every feel a big relief once he scores and we get the PAT, we're good. And then, you know, our kickoff, and then we knew they were going to do some razzle dazzle funky stuff, and you know, and fortunately they had a penalty that drew it back further, otherwise they probably could have been able to kick a field goal and you know, win the game. But you know, that you go from a level of like, hey, we're on top, we just need to finish the game, we're excited, and then like, oh man, they just, you know, took the kickoff, you know, 85 yards all the way down, and now we have a penalty, and they get one more offensive play, and oh man, and yeah, but just excitement for our kids that they could find a way to win, which is always the tough thing to do. Of hey, we're in a tough spot. We need you guys to focus on what we do in practice and execute it here in the field. And it's good to see the kids be able to do that when they do it.
Yeah, especially after you lost a game in against Brookings last year, in a heartbreaking way. So the fact that you were able to win a game like that against Sturgis, I mean, it had to feel extra great for you as a coach, knowing that your kids responded in a time of adversity like that.
Yeah, after losing, to Peer first game by, one score and not playing a very good game against T there the second game. And then, like you said, losing that game to Brookings there kind of on last second play was just kind of a roller coaster of 3 weeks for us. But then to be able to go out there and look at our guys and know that, hey, we're gonna execute this and get it done. And, it was a lot of fun. And it showed a lot about our kids that, they been up and down those first few weeks, but they're able to execute it then at that time.
Feels like a lot of times, especially in Class B football, it's now we're going for two, we really don't have a kicker. In Double A, most times you're kicking the extra point, but obviously you went for the win there, it worked out for you guys there. What's kind of your thought process in going for two when it's later on down the stretch of a ball game? Is it kind of, hey, we're on the road, we're going for two, or hey, we're at home, we kick the extra? How do you even kind of approach those sorts of things?
It kind of comes to, how's the offense playing right now? Mm-hmm. Are we roll like that? That's that drive against Sturgis last year. They were moving the ball. Things were looking good. We were clicking. We had things going. So it was kind of a no-brainer. Like, one, hey, offense is playing well. And two, we drove all the way out here.
Yeah.
We're going for the win. We're not going to try and play this in overtime because nothing against overtime rules in high school and college, but it's not.
It's a crapshoot.
You're on the 15-yard line or 10-yard line, and then just it's not really football. It's just, the field shrinks down so much that, offensively things kind of change and defensively things kind of change. But, yeah, we just wanted to get out there and get the win. So it was like, hey, and they were all the guys were like, we're going for two, coach. Let's go for two. They all said it, and they all agreed that, hey, we can do this. We just drove all the way down 85 yards on them, and got that drive going, so
let's go for it.
They were all in, and that sometimes it's part of it is just their confidence in doing it too, and looking at your kids and seeing, okay, look in their eyes a little bit and see how they're feeling right now, and they're ready to go. So just put it in for two and go home.
There you go.
Coach, what would you say the big strength of the squad coming into this year is? Last year it was the defense. I just remember that Yankton game and the playoffs in particular. You look at the final score, you might say it was a little lopsided, but I mean that was a pretty close game because your defense was able to keep you in it, and they were a really great defense in Double A all last year. Is that going to be another strength this year, or are you looking at other spots on the field that you're really confident about?
No, I think our defense will continue to be a strength. I think that, our defensive coaches, Halinka, Anderson, Rakowski, they're going to do an awesome job of game planning, scheming up how we're going to take away things from the offense that we're playing, at the same time, creating some disruptions. So that'll be a strength of ours again. But I think offensively then as well, we're going to have some good players that are going to be able to make some plays. You get, Carson Borg out there again. We're going to have Carl Luss. We're going to have Dahlman. We're going to have Waldo. Some guys that have some experience playing that are going to be able to make some plays for us. And, big plays are awesome, but I think we've really worked hard this year about talking about, okay, just consistent drives down the field, maintaining possession of the ball, being smart about things. And we have opportunities to make plays or to take shots. Yeah, we're going to take them. But I think big part's going to be, letting our coaches call plays and letting our players make plays and score touchdowns.
Keep it simple. Sounds good to me. Absolutely. Well, we'll let you go here. Appreciate you doing this. Good luck this upcoming autumn. It's like a month away or so before your first game, which is kind of crazy how fast that kind of creeps up on us. But appreciate you doing this, and we'll talk to you later on down maybe in mid-September or something like that.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. Head coach Justin Breeze of the Golden Eagles joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll talk some Legion baseball after this. Final segment for your hump day on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Talking with Coach Breeze off the air. There were some upsets yesterday in the Class A state tournament there, hosted by the town that is Water. You had an 8 over a 1, you had a 7 over a 2, and you know, the broadcasters on the stream yesterday were saying, "Ah, there's no such thing as really upsets here, and these teams were all good." And I don't know, man. 8 over a 1 and a 7 over a 2. I classify those as upsets, regardless of how good the teams are or not. But, I mean, the first time Team A beats Team B since 17 years, since 2008, that's an upset. As Rapid City posts 320, they down Rapid City Post 22, 4-1 your final score there. That's a huge win for that Post 320 squad for sure.
Well, I was just going to mention, you know, you mentioned the upsets, and they are certainly upsets.
Yes, they are.
Sometimes you can get a really good pitching performance, and that's all it can take. I mean, I feel like when you see upsets, you see a score like 4-1.
Yes.
You know, 3-1, 3-2, something like that, where your starting pitcher gives you enough. And Rapid City Post 320, we were talking with Brent. They took the lead early in that game, and they really never looked back.
It was 3-0 early.
Yeah, 3-0 early. Your pitcher was able to play and pitch with a lead, and he only walked one. I mean, the defense played great. You know, it would be a different score. I bet, you know, Rapid City Post 22 put the ball in play, but the defense behind Fats was phenomenal, and that's why they come away with a win there.
Yeah, Layden Fats going the duration, 7 innings, striking out 5, only scattering 5 hits there, only 1 walk to your point, so pretty good control for him there. Yesterday you had Renner Post 307 defeat Brandon Valley Post 131, 6-2. Those two teams will tussle today at 4 o'clock this afternoon. That's Renner and Post 320, while Rapid City Post 22, they'll take on Brandon Valley in a loser's out game. In the evening session, it was 7 over 2. It was Harrisburg defeating Yankton Post 12-8 rip. Noah Boshi goes yad. He had a grand slam in the victory there. 8-0 your final score as Post 45 downs Post 12. And then in the nightcap, really, really good pitching performance from both starting pitchers in terms of not surrendering a whole lot of hits. I thought I heard in the final tally it was 3-2 in the final box score that I heard there yesterday, I think. That was Brent on the call. I think that's what he said. At least that's the way I gathered it. You only had 3 hits for, I think, Watertown, only 2 there for Pierre. Caden Rylance, he would have a no decision in the contest. He scattered 2 hits, 1 earned run. He struck out 6. Again, it was a no decision there for him. Jackson McClemens in long form relief. He goes 2 1/3. He struck out 3, no hits for him. So runs were at a premium. Couple of errors each way. Watertown got the win 5-2. They advance to take on Harrisburg Post 45 tonight. And in the loser's out contest, it'll be Yankton against Pierre. So that continues today. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think in that Pierre-Watertown game, the walks really, yeah. I mean, 8 walks, you're able to go 4 2/3. It's pretty impressive. But just continuing to battle with guys on base, and sometimes, you know, the walks can just be killer at the end of the day, and it was for Pierre. But I think you're going to see some really good matchups and some elimination games. Managers are going to have to be on their feet a little bit here because, you know, you look at a team like Rapid City, Post 22, they've been dominant all year. You're going to have to go from the loser's bracket now. It's a little bit different not having that leeway.
Hello, adversity. How are you going to respond? We'll have to wait and see. All right, we are back at it tomorrow on the Sports Hub.